We're in the middle, or I say middle, we're really not. We're coming to the end of a series that we began the last Sunday of November. It is called The Real King. And today we're in the book of Luke. So if you've got your Bible, I want you to open up to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1. If you've not been with us throughout this series, you've missed some of the talks, I want to ask you, would you go back to our website, lifept.org/, I believe it's media, and you'll be able to see and catch up. Would love for you to do that. Let me ask you a question. You know, it's a crazy, crazy time of the year. This year has been way, way crazy. I mean, it's wow. Who would have thought 2020 would have been like this? But let me ask you this. What would you do? How would your life be different if today you got a phone call or an email from your employer and they said, we today are going to double your salary. Starting today, your salary is doubled. Here you go. Would your life be different? Oh yeah, it would. It would be completely different. What if today, or let's say Christmas, let's say on Christmas, some long lost uncle, aunt, they send you a note and they say, we're going to pay off your mortgage and all of your debt. You will have no more. Would your life be different? Yeah, your life would be completely different. What if the CDC today, it came across the news, it came across your phone, you get a notification here in just a few minutes that says COVID has been eradicated and 2020 is a myth. It never happened. We're starting over. Oh, there you go. Your life would be completely different. It would radically change. Well, I want you to know 2,000 years ago, there was a teenage little girl named Mary whose life completely changed because of some news that she received. And as a result of the news that she received, our lives now as followers of Christ are completely different. You see, in the day and the time where we're going to read in just a few moments, the nation of Israel had heard no word from God for 400 years. At the close of the Old Testament, at the close of Malachi, until Matthew, it had been 400 years since a prophet had been in the land and had spoken the word of God. It had been 700 years since Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin was going to give birth. And into that dark world, that confusing time, much like ours today, the angel Gabriel stepped in to speak to Mary, and he proclaimed to her that the real king was going to be born. And he gave her three characteristics from the passage that we're going to read today, I believe, that really help us to see the character of that real king. If you're taking notes, you're thumbing in some notes on your phone or something, the first characteristic you're going to see is that the real king is a gracious king. The real king is a gracious king. The second characteristic you'll see is not only is he gracious, he's the perfect king. And lastly, he's the sovereign king, the one who holds it all together, the one who is in control. So with that, let's start reading in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read, verses 26 through 38. I'm going to ask you to follow along. You have probably heard this passage many, many times. So let's read this together. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 34, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. I want to reiterate that. Nothing will be impossible with God. Notice verse 38 now. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This right here is the greatest news the world has ever had. All the other news that I kind of got you to imagine a few minutes ago would be awesome. It would be great. And if some of you want to pay off my mortgage, I can tell you how to do it. Listen, if you've got ways that you want to bless my family, that would be great news for my family. But I want you to hear that. Whatever news you get today, this right here, what we've just read, is the greatest news of all time. It is the greatest news that the real king is going to be born. And Mary, you're going to be the one to deliver him. You're going to be the one to carry him. Notice the very first thing. I want you to see this. And I think it's the very first characteristics of the real king that was described here is that he's a gracious king. He is a gracious king. Look at verse 28. Verse 28, Gabriel appears to Mary and he says this. And notice the greeting. He says, greeting, O favored one. Now, the word favored here means grace. It means the word grace. In the Latin translation in the 4th century, it's called the Latin Vulgate. It was translated into Latin, and it meant, it was translated gracia plena, which means full of grace, that Mary was full of grace. Some of you, your ears are perking up right here. Now, I want you to hear this. Mary was full of grace, but not as our Catholic friends believe, okay? Mary was full of grace. She was full of grace. And you know why she was full of grace? Because God himself had chosen her. Not because of anything that she had done, not because of any family line. He looked down upon her and he chose her. He put his favor, his gracious favor upon her so that she would be the one to carry his son. Pope Pius X, in fact, I had somebody stop me a little while ago and said, you know what? I went to an elementary school called Pope Pius X. Pope Pius X, he declared that Mary was so full of grace that she had extra grace available for the rest of us. And he designated her to no longer just be a recipient of the grace of God, but because she had so much and she had extra that she could then dispense grace to us. I want you to hear that. Please hear this. That's wrong. The only one that we receive grace from for salvation is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one. So no matter how many times someone were to pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, she's not the one hearing that prayer. It is God himself who hears that prayer and answers to us graciously. Listen, the photos that we see are the paintings. There are no photos, but the paintings that we see of Mary sitting as a 20-year-old, 30-year-old up on a, literally on a throne, the queen of heaven with a crown on her head. Listen, that's not Mary. You know who Mary is in this story? You know, Mary's not the perfect one in this story. Jesus is the perfect one. He is the righteous king. He is the gracious king. And you know who Mary is in this? Mary's a 13 or 14-year-old little prepubescent young lady who the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appears to. And the scripture tells us she's troubled. She's like, what is this? What's going on? She's a little nervous. She's scared. She's afraid. Do you remember when the Holy Spirit awoken you, when he arrested your heart and you surrendered your life to him, you responded in faith? Do you remember that moment when you stepped back and you thought, me? Are you me? God, you're saving me. You're changing my life. Listen, when God bestowed grace upon you, it wasn't because of anything you had done. It wasn't because of who you are. It was out of his gracious giving to you. Mary, the 13-year-old, yes, she was full of grace, but not because of where she lived. Listen, nobody knew anything about Nazareth. Nobody knew anything about Nazareth. Do you realize that Nazareth was not even mentioned? It's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. You know why? Because no one was from Nazareth. Nothing significant happened. In fact, the disciple, or the soon-to-be disciple, when Nathanael, when they came to him and said, listen, we found the one. We think we found the Christ, the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. Nathanael said, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Are you kidding me? Mary, she wasn't like experienced. I mean, she's a 13-year-old little girl probably. She didn't understand. It's not like she had a family that was of means. She was a peasant girl. She didn't live in a penthouse in some large city. She was in a backwater town, probably in a one-room little shanty that she shared with her parents and literally the farm animals. I mean, it was all the grace of God when he said, Mary, you have been found in favor, has been found in you. You are highly favored, Mary. God has seen you and he has chosen you to carry his son, the one who will be born. The one who will be born. He has chosen you. Today, you may be sitting in here and you may be thinking, man, I'm from some backwater little town. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm up to here in debt. My marriage is breaking apart. My family feels fractured. There's death. There's sickness. There's whatever it is in your life today. I want you to hear me. God has brought you here today to this very place because he wants you to find life. He wants to graciously give you, open your eyes and change your life and save you. If you're watching online today, he desires to save you because he is a gracious God. The real king is a gracious king. Some of you in here, your life has already been changed by Jesus. You've surrendered your life to him, but you've tried to reclaim ground. You know what I mean? When you came to him, you said, listen, your eyes were open and you said, God, you got it all. You got it all. But somewhere along the line, you begin to think, no, I got this. And you start to pull back and you've begun to realize, I can't do this. My prayer for you today is that you realize God is a gracious God. And even in the midst of what it is that you're walking in, that you can turn back to your first love and say, God, I can't do this. God, you've given me grace. And God, I need that grace again. Let me ask you something. Do you need grace today? I know I do. Listen, I need grace today. I need grace. I woke up this morning and the Lord revealed something to me and I had to send a text about 6:30 this morning. I had to apologize. Sorry for texting you so early, but I need you to forgive me because of yada, 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 yada. And right now, some of you are going, what was yada, yada, yada? It's none, yeah. It's between me and that person. But the gracious God, Jesus Christ, in his grace, helped me to see that I need your forgiveness. Today, are you there? Are there things in your life where you say, God, I need your grace in my life? The gracious king, the real king, was a gracious king, and God's found favor. He said, Mary, you are highly favored. My grace is upon you, not because of what you've done, not because of who you are, but because of who I am and what I'm going to do. Number two, if you're taking notes, I hope you are. Number two is this. Not only is he the real king, a gracious king, he's also the perfect king. He is our perfect king. The baby who was going to be born, the scripture tells us, he was a perfect king. Now, this passage tells us that Mary and Joseph, they were betrothed. Now, that's very similar to our engagement. Man, woman, boy, girl, they go into a betrothal, they get engaged, and it's going to take about a year for that to happen, yet they have not consummated that relationship. They have not consummated the marriage yet because they're not married yet, as it should be. Yet also, this betrothal is very different, though, in some ways, from our modern-day engagement because it takes a divorce certificate for them to get out of this betrothal. In fact, the scripture tells us that Mary's questioning, how does this happen? A little later, over in Matthew chapter 1, it says that Joseph hears from Gabriel and says, listen, don't divorce her. This is from God. You don't do this. When I meet with people, if they are asking me to be involved in their wedding, they want me to do the marriage ceremony, one of the things I do is I counsel with them, and I'm trying to talk you out of getting married. Because if I can talk you out of getting married, then you don't need to be married to begin with. I want to make sure that you understand why you're doing this. What does the scripture say about it? What does it mean to die to yourself? They were not getting out of this time without a divorce. In fact, Mary, this ought to be probably one of the most joyous occasions of her life. Listen, ladies, if you're married or if you're hoping to be married, you have a dream about what is that wedding day going to look like? You're thinking about the bridesmaids, the guest list. You're thinking about the venue. You're thinking about, we got to get these animals out of the house. I need somewhere to have a reception. I mean, this should be the most exciting days. And yet the scripture tells us, look what the scripture says. The scripture says that Gabriel showed up and he said, greetings, O favored one, you who are full of grace. Grace has been given unto you. Oh, Mary, listen, do you remember Isaiah 7 about the virgin will give birth? Bingo, you're it. Now, that's a discussion starter right there, isn't it? Mary's thinking, me? Are you kidding me? What do you mean, me? I'm young, I'm inexperienced, but I know enough to know how do babies get made and how they're delivered. And I'm a virgin. How is this happening to me? What do you mean? Look at verse 35. Verse 35, Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, what he's saying here is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's not going to be Joseph's son. Joseph is not his daddy. God is his daddy. The Holy Spirit of God will overshadow you, will come upon you, and he will be the one to conceive in you this baby. Now, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that Jesus was the Son of God, like Peyton and Evan are my sons? No. It doesn't mean that. I want to try to help you understand this. When we create things, when we put things together, when we do things as human, we think about how we handle things. Like if I were to be a woodworker, I'm not at all. I don't know how to, my hands don't work that way. But I'm taking things, I'm putting them together, I'm making things to happen and those types of things. Do you remember how God made things happen in Genesis chapter 1? God spoke it into existence. He gave a word and it happens. In fact, the scripture even tells us that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the water. The Holy Spirit was involved in the creation. The scripture here helps us to understand, and I believe that we can't be thinking about how we do things. We know how babies are made in our world. We know how it is that we procreate. God in himself, when he creates, he speaks into existence. The Holy Spirit is covering over Mary, the scripture says. And I want you to hear this. I don't know exactly how it happened, but the very fact that Gabriel said, this is going to happen, there was a baby that came alive. It was a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Just like it is a miracle of the Holy Spirit when you are healed of a disease, it is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how it happened, but I know that it is a miracle that life happened. And when it happened, do you remember what it said? It said, because of that, this is going to be God's son. He will be holy. He will be perfect. Holiness means perfect, perfection. Jesus, the real king, the gracious king to be born, the one, he will be perfect. Guys, ladies, if you've had children, you've seen that baby born, you're holding it, you're looking at it, and you're thinking, this is perfection. Everything about this, this is awesome. But I want you to know, you realize it's not perfection. Listen, the baby had a pointed head. There's blemishes on it. This is not perfection. Jesus being born was perfection. He was perfect, not in blemish, though he was without blemish, not in skin. I'm talking about he was holy. Because the Holy Spirit came upon him, because there was a miracle at birth. Excuse me, I want to rephrase that. You know what? The miracle wasn't the birth, because Jesus was born just like all the rest of us. You know what the miracle was? The miracle was conception. Because there's never, ever been another conception like this. And because Jesus, the Son of God, the one who was the perfect representation, the one who was the exact imprint, the duplicate of God, God himself, take on flesh and bone. Because of that, the line of sin. He wasn't born of the seed of Joseph. He was the seed of God. He was God himself. That line of sin, it allowed for there to be, Jesus to be perfectly human, 100% human, and perfectly God, 100% God. He could have dropped down out of heaven, and then we would have gone, but he wasn't really human. He could have been born by two human parents, and then we'd go, there's no way he's divine. Yet because of the Holy Spirit who came upon Mary, who miraculously she conceived of the seed of God, we now have the opportunity to have a right relationship. You see, if you pull the virgin conception away, he's just another man. But this is God himself. Hebrews tells us, look at this. Hebrews says that he is the exact radiance of God. He is the exact radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. John wrote about Jesus in chapter 10. He says that Jesus said, I and the Father are one. John chapter 14, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's words like that that got Jesus crucified. Jesus, that baby that Gabriel was announcing, that baby was a perfect and holy baby. God graciously, our gracious King, the real King, sent a perfect child. He himself put on flesh and bone, the scripture says. Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he took on flesh and bone and he stepped into time and space. He himself was perfect, was perfect. Listen, this passage helps us to see that salvation only comes from God himself. It is no human effort, because the Holy Spirit comes upon us, opens our eyes, and imparts salvation to us. We struggle with kingship. We struggle with that because literally kingship or kings in our world are full of sin. They're out for number one, their kingdom. But if there was a perfect king, one that was all-knowing, one that was all-powerful, one that was always looking out for his subjects' best interest, we would want that king. That's King Jesus, folks. That's King Jesus, the perfect king, the holy king. Today, I want you to hear this. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in the State House, the courthouse, or your house. There aren't any perfect leaders. And whoever you're looking at and thinking they're going to deliver, listen, there's no perfect pastors. all our leaders will fail us because we're not perfect. Do you know what? There's only one who won't. King Jesus, the baby born in the manger, the baby born in the manger, the gracious king, the perfect king, and lastly is this, the sovereign king. That baby born was a sovereign king. Look at verse 37. I pointed this out to you as I was reading it. Verse 37, Gabriel told Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I think this is a great Christmas passage. This verse jumps out because listen, as the sovereign, there isn't anything that's impossible for him. There is nothing in this world that is impossible. God creates things out of nothing. He created all that was out of nothing. It's the doctrine called ex nihilo. It means out of nothing, everything came. He spoke and all that we have happened. Listen, today we're probably sitting in here, some of you online, you're thinking, listen, you don't know where I am today. You don't know the situation that I'm facing. You don't know my job, my family, my kids, my health. I've tried everything. There's nothing left that can happen. I want you to hear this. There is a sovereign king. There is a sovereign king, the real king. King Jesus, he can take nothing and he works miracles. He changes things. He takes relationships that feel dead and broken and there's nothing gonna come out of this, and he can redeem it and reconcile it. He can take bank accounts that have like multiple zeros with minuses in front of them and he can change all of that. Are we just going prosperity? No, I'm not talking that. I'm talking like he works things out that you and I don't even understand. Listen, God is already doing things that you and I don't even know anything about. In any situation, he's always working because he can work a whole lot out of nothing because he's God. So when there is a womb that is empty in a 13-year-old girl, where there is nothing there, he can place his son, God's one and only son. And that baby grows and is born and lives a perfect and holy life because it is the Son of God, God himself. He walks this earth. He lives. He's crucified. He came to his own rejected him. He's crucified. He's laid in a tomb. He raises again 3 days later. Today, he is the ruling and reigning alive king at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I today. And in his grace, he desires to meet you where you are with his perfect plan. Are you in need of his perfect plan? Have you been trying to work things out? Listen, you've come to him for salvation, and now you're trying to run around and take everything into your own hands. You're trying to be the sovereign working your plan. When today is the day when we get off that throne and we say, God, I need you. My question for you today, again, are you in need of grace? Are you in need of the perfect king who has the perfect plan for your life? Listen, have you reclaimed territory because you think that you're the king? When the real king stands waiting, and all we have to do is turn back to him, to return to our first love, the scripture tells us. Return to our first love. Today, in this room right here, there are some of you, you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've celebrated the baby, but you've never experienced him. You've never submitted to him. You've never walked in his perfect plan. You're still ruling your life. And it has led to dead end spaces to where today you feel like you have nothing left. And it's into that right now that the gracious, perfect, sovereign king wants to step in and change your life. And I want you to hear this. He can today. He's calling you. Some of you right now, you're going, this is like resonating with me. That's not because I'm a good speaker. That's the Holy Spirit who is speaking to you right now, who is drawing you. Some of you in here right now, you're followers of Jesus. You're followers of Jesus. And you've, in these last days, you've been trusting in your own plans. You've been worry-warting. You've been, I don't know how this is going to work out. God, what are you going to do? Know this. We know from Genesis 3:15, when the very first sin happened, he said at that moment, there's already a plan for Christmas is not plan B. It was already planned in his mind, in his written, all the days written in his book before one ever happened. He knew. So even while the ringing of the crunch of the apple or the fruit was still happening, he said, listen, there's going to be one who's going to come. There's going to be a baby born. Today, maybe it's time for us to trust him like we've never trusted him before. Why? Because he's the real king. He's the gracious king. He's a perfect king. He is the sovereign king today. Do you know him as your king? Not know of him. Do you know him? Father, I love you and I thank you for the privilege you give us to be your children if we surrender for you. Jesus, you have my life, and I'm asking that today your spirit would open the eyes of people in this room and online. God, I'm asking that today if there is a follower of yours in here who has tried to retake things that were once surrendered, God, that you would convict them, that you would draw them, that they would trust your perfect plan, that in your grace, you would open their eyes again and convict them, that they would step off the throne and give it back to you. We love you and we honor you and we magnify you today. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen.